Your Bibles open to 1 John chapter 3, and the text for our meditation this evening will be taken from verses 1 to 3. The theme we are considering this evening is, we are children of God. Now, if you were asked during an interview to describe yourself in 3 minutes, what would you say? You have to think very carefully because your answer will reflect what you think of yourself. Most likely, for most who would answer this question, they will also think of ways they can impress the interviewer. So they may try to think of what are the accomplishments that they have, what do they possess, what they have done, what they have achieved. And they would recount and describe all these things to the interviewer, hoping to impress that person. So if you were asked this question, how will you answer this? Because this will speak of what you think of yourself. And this will also speak of what do you think, what are those things that you think would define you? So what are those things that defines you? How would you define yourself? Would you define yourself merely by the possessions that you have? Would you define yourself by the clothing that you wear? Would you define yourself by your accomplishments, your achievements? Or would you also define yourself by your birth? Because there will be those who would take great pride in their birth. Which family are they born into? Are they born into a rich family, a wealthy family, a powerful family, a family with influence? Are they born into a royal family? Imagine if you can go to an interview and then you say that I'm a prince. I'm born into this royal family. Then would not that give you a sense of importance, and would you not expect the interviewer now to also regard and see you differently? So what do you define yourself with, and what do you define yourself by? If you are a Christian, now we realize that our identity is not to be defined by all these material, external things. We must not define ourselves any longer with our wealth, our possessions, our accomplishments, and we must not even define ourselves by our birth, that is our earthly birth, our human birth. Even if you are born into an important family, a family of influence, these are no longer the things that define us. And we must not regard ourselves by these things anymore. But what the Bible tells us is, do you recognize, do you see that you are in fact, if you are a Christian, a child of God? And this is who you must see yourself now as. The child of the living God. The son of God, the daughter of God, but you are a child of God. And this is a great privilege. And then if we are able to see that we are children of God, our whole view, our whole outlook of the world and how our whole view of ourselves would change. Are you able to recognize this? Now, this was what Apostle John wanted to impress upon the believers, that they would see that they are children of God. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, Apostle John is going to reveal to us a few important truths regarding how we are now children of God. The first thing he's going to show us and describe to us is, do you know that this position and this privilege as a child of God is something that is given to you? It is not something that you have done to acquire. It is not something that you have done to earn it. But this position is given to you because of the love of God. Look at this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold, consider this very carefully. Look at this very carefully. Think about this very carefully. You are a child of God. We sometimes forget that we are children of God. We forget the privileges that we are entitled to as children of God. we also forget the responsibilities that is expected of us as children of God. So think about this very carefully now. Ponder upon this. Behold, see what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. How did we first attain to this position that we are able to be called the child of God? How did we even acquire this position? Apostle John first tells us that this is a position that is not something that you have done or earned. It's not something that you have given in order to get this position. But this position has been given freely to you simply because of the love of the Father. He says, what manner? Think, see, what kind of love has God given to you? It is a self-sacrificial love. It's an unconditional love. It's a love with which now that has been bestowed upon you that you are able to be called the sons of God. Now, when Apostle John says that we should be called the sons of God, it has the idea of how we are summoned, how we are invited, and how we are chosen to be the sons of God, to be the children of God. And this is a great privilege because if you think of who you were, you recall back to the time when you were without Christ. You think back to the time when you were lost in this world. Who were we? Why would God want us to be His children? Is there something that is lovely in us? Is there anything that is good about us that He would choose us and that He would call us to be His child? I remember recently reading in the newspaper a few days back of one of the problems in Singapore, and that is the problem of food wastage. The newspaper was describing how Singaporeans would choose their fruits and vegetables. How would you choose your fruits and vegetables? And then this newspaper is trying to encourage Singaporeans, you know, to accept those kind of fruits and vegetables that may look bruised or wrinkled on the outside, but then actually inside is still okay. So if let's say you are choosing an orange, how would you choose an orange? Most of us will make sure that there are no bruises on the outside, there are no spots or blemishes. We want the orange to really look very orange, right? So then it can be called an orange. Then we choose. Then we think that, oh, if it looks very nice outside, inside also must be very nice. So there was this article that actually took, you know, some of these fruits and vegetables like cucumber, potato. Then they show that outside it looks very ugly, but then you cut inside, it actually looks the same as the fruits and vegetables that outside looks very nice. So they are trying to encourage you to choose even those that may look ugly. But you see, how would you choose fruits and vegetables? We always choose that which is the best, the nicest, the cleanest. When God chose us, what was our condition? What were our condition when God chose us? Who were we when God chose us? Was it because we were the smartest, we were the fastest, we were the tallest? Is there anything that is good about us that God has chosen us? Yet despite who we were, while we were yet sinners, God called us, God chose us, and God has given us this privilege to be His son, His daughter. And all this is because God has given to us His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world. He lived among us. He who is the Son of God became the Son of Man. And He died on the cross. He was crucified. He shed His precious blood to wash away and to take away all our sins. And the Bible tells us on the third day, He rose again from the grave, thus conquering death, conquering hell, and showing that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross has been accepted of God. This was what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, and because of this great work, now we are able to be called the sons of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man, so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. This is what God has given to us. He has loved us and He has bestowed this upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You did not do anything to acquire this. It's not because you are special in any way, but simply because God has chosen you out of His own great love. Do you recognize this? Now, if you're able to recognize and see that it's because God has chosen you that you are able now to be called the sons of God, then we would be so thankful and so grateful. And all we need to do is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in Him as our Savior, and then we would already qualify to be called the sons of God, because it is through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ that now we are accepted of God. Are you not so moved? Are you not so thankful because of this great truth? Previously, you are living under the wrath of God. You can only approach God as the judge. When you stand before His presence, you have to stand before Him out of fear. You have to stand before Him with trembling. You are under His wrath. You are going to face His judgment. But now, we stand before Him knowing that He is our Father. You are now a child of God. And how was this position acquired? It was simply bestowed upon you, given unto you. But you see, this is a position that the world will not recognize, and that's why Apostle John says, "Therefore, the world knoweth us not." Apostle John was here referring to the truth that now we are called the sons of God. Because we are now the sons of God, the world will no longer recognize us. And why would they not recognize us? Because they do not know God. So because they do not know God, and now we are the sons of God, they will also not recognize us. They will not want to acknowledge us. They will not want to accept us. Just as they have also rejected God, just as the world also hate God, so they will also hate the sons of God. This is a truth that the world will not be able to accept. But you, do you recognize that you are now a child of God if you are truly a born-again believer, and that this privilege and this position has been given to you freely? But what are the privileges that we are entitled to as children of God? And that's where Apostle John goes on to now describe in verse 2. He says, "Beloved, you are one who is loved of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." This is a truth that we can enjoy in the present. Do you know the privilege of being a child of God is a truth that we not only will enjoy in the future in glory, it's also a truth that we can enjoy in the present. That's why Apostle John says, "Now are we the sons of God." The fullness of this Christian life, the fullness of being a child of God, can be enjoyed and must be enjoyed in the present. Now are we the sons of God? And the idea of now are we the sons of God also has a contrast. It has a contrast to the past. Who we were before, where we were before. We were in sorrow, we were in sin, we were slaves and bound to sin. We were in the pits of distress. But now God has brought us out of this miry clay, brought us out of this horrible pit, and He calls us His sons and His daughters. And He has now also clothed us even with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now are we the sons of God. And what is this privilege that you can enjoy? You enjoy this position even in the present. It's not just merely a future glory that we look forward to, but even in the present. When you are in distress, when you are down and discouraged, in the present, recognize that you are a child of God. Recognize that you have a heavenly Father, someone who cares for you, someone who loves you, someone who will protect you, guard you, defend you. He is your loving heavenly Father. Do you think back of how you were once lost and alone? But now, you are a child of God. And even when you face with circumstances that are trying, even when you are in distress, you are a child of God. But not only is this truth something that we enjoy in the present. Apostle John also looked forward to the future. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." This is something that you enjoy in the present. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." Now, the fullness of this position as a child of God is not something that we can comprehend now on earth, because we are not able to see yet what we shall be. That means the fullness of this position is still to come in the future. But even in the present, yes, we can enjoy this position as a child of God. We can enjoy this communion. We can enjoy this relationship. We can pray. We can cry out unto God, our Father. But there will be the fullness of it, which we will enjoy one day. It does not yet appear what we shall be. And this concerns especially the bodily form. Because the Apostle John goes on to say, "We know that when he shall appear," here that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, "when the Lord Jesus Christ appears, then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." When the Lord Jesus Christ appears, we will be transformed. We will have a new body, a glorified body, a resurrected body. We shall be like him, because the Lord Jesus Christ is in his glorified state and he has the resurrected body. So when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again for us, one day we will be like him. And one of the great hopes and the privileges that we will enjoy is we will see Christ as he is. This is one great privilege that the children of God is able to enjoy. Now, when you look at important people in this world, one of the things that they like to do, or they hope to do, or they long to do, is sometimes to gain a glimpse of these important people. I remember when, in the year, I think that was about 2011, when Prince William got married to Kate. And then it was on television, because at that time I was in Kenya. I remember watching on television how there would be thousands of people who would gather in the field next to the Buckingham Palace. And they were all waiting for the moment where this royal couple would appear on the balcony, and then they would just wave to the people. And they would be waiting the whole morning. They would just be over there, waiting, just wanting to catch a glimpse of this royal couple. Why? Why would people want to gain a glimpse of this royalty? I'm not sure the reason. They will camp out the whole morning. Maybe it's to see, the garments, the royal clothing that they would wear. Maybe if they feel that as long as they can be just merely in the proximity of this royal family, they can also enjoy a little bit of the glory of this royal family. But I do not know why. But for one reason or another, they would gather, they would wait, they would hope to catch a glimpse of this royal family. But even then, having caught a glimpse of this royal family, is still in a distance. And this royal family still do not know them. They would not know them personally. They would not know them individually. But you know what? For us, as God's children, the Bible tells us that one day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again for us, we will see the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be like him, and we will see him as he is. We will be able to see our Savior face to face, and we will be able to see him in the fullness of his glory. And when we see him, it is not going to be in the distance, and it's not going to be as strangers, but we are going to see him as one who has a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with. And this is a precious sight. You remember the story of Fanny Crosby, this blind hymn writer, and she was blind since she was young. She was not born blind, but at about 5 years old or slightly earlier, a doctor misdiagnosed her condition, and as a result of that, she became blind. She did not receive the proper treatment for her condition, and because of that, she became blind. And so she was asked one day. Somebody told her, saying that, "Poor child, you will never see again." And you know how Fanny Crosby responded? She refused to be discouraged or disappointed with the condition that she had. But she only replied and said, "Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." Then she further went on to say, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. And I thank Him for this dispensation. For if perfect earthly sight were offered to me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me." She went on to say, "If I had a choice, I would still choose to remain blind. For when I die, the first face I will ever see will be the face of my beloved Savior. To catch a glimpse, or to behold and to see the glorious face of her Savior, it was enough to comfort Fanny Crosby that she can be content and that she can rest in quietness, even though she cannot enjoy the sight of this world. But just to see her Savior in His glory, it was good enough for her." Do you know that this is also the hope that you have? One day you would see the Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of His glory. And even if you now face all this discouragements and things that trouble you on earth, do you know you will be able to see the sight of your Savior? There are so many things that we will not be able to see on earth, so many things that we will not be able to enjoy. Are there places that you want to go? Are there things that you want to see? But then we will not in our lifetime be able to travel to all these places and see all these things we want to see. But would you feel that your life is not complete, is empty, if you cannot travel to all these places or to see all these things that you see, you want to see? Would you feel discontented? Would you feel empty? But would not the sight of your Savior be enough for you? You are a child of God, and this is one of the great privileges that you're going to enjoy as God's precious child. Now, we are the sons of God. Are Christians today, are you today living in these privileges? Do you know all these privileges that has been entitled to you, that you can enjoy even now while you're on earth? How so forgetful we are. And sometimes in the day-to-day grind, as we go about in work, we may regard ourselves and think of ourselves as this employee of this company. We would think of ourselves as just but a student in this school. We'll be doing this and doing that. But we forget that we are the children of God. But if you can remember this, that you are a child of God, how would you then live? How would you regard yourself? How would you now be so content and you can rest in the quietness of this truth? I am a child of God. Do you enjoy this presently? This is a position that has been given to us. This is a position with great privileges. But this is also a position with responsibilities. And that's in verse 3. If you now know that you are a child of God, then the Bible says, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." He here refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a child of God, you would purify yourself, even as the Lord Jesus Christ is pure. Now, the idea of to purify yourself means to live a sanctified and a holy life, because the Lord Jesus Christ is pure. If you are God's child, you must reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. You must live a life that is consistent of your position and who you are. Now, when we think about royalties, if a prince of a royal family conducts himself in a way that is unbecoming of this family, of his position, is going to bring shame to the whole family. Which is why for royalties, they often have certain etiquettes and certain decorum that they have to follow. Now, I was just reading up some of the things that this royal family, certain procedures, protocol that they actually have to follow. Some of them are quite interesting. For example, apparently, for those in the royal family, when they walk, they must walk in a way where their chin is parallel to the ground. It cannot be too high, lest they appear to be haughty or proud. It cannot be too low, lest they appear to lack confidence. Okay, so you must walk with your chin that is parallel to the ground. That's one of the conditions of the royal family. Then even when they eat their meal, I'm not sure whether it's even in private dining situation or if it's just when they entertain guests. Okay, but when they eat their meal, when they sit down, there's a certain way where they have to put their napkin on their lap. And then their elbows must be kept together to the side, and their elbows must never be on the table. Okay, that's a royalty. The ankles and the knees also must be together. There are certain protocols which is expected of them, the way they carry themselves, because the whole world is going to look at them. The whole world is going to observe them, how they walk. Even every word that they say is going to carry weight. That is what we all expect of royalty. Now, if we recognize that we are children of God, there must be certain ways which we carry ourselves, we conduct ourselves, that is to be different from who we were in the past. When we were once slaves to sin, when we were once under the bondage of sin, we were once living in the world, we did not care for anything. But now, if we are children of God, and this is a position that has been given to us so freely, nothing that we have done to deserve it, but given out of God's great love, then do we not want and desire to live in a way which would be fitting to this calling that is given to us? A way that is fitting to the character of God, to the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Apostle John says, you must purify yourself, even as He is pure. Now, the idea of this word purify also describes something that is ongoing. It is a process. And it is very comforting to us. Because you look at some parents at times, when they bring up their children, maybe there are some parents who are unreasonable. They expect a child who is 1 year old, maybe to have the understanding, the strength, the speed of an adult in the prime of his life, 30 years old. But that is unreasonable. The child has to grow, and the child will take time to grow. And that's why the sanctification process, the Bible describes it as an ongoing process where we are daily growing. We are daily becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I know sometimes Christians, you know, when they compare themselves with other Christians, they may feel discouraged. Why am I not like this? Why am I not like that? If you are a young Christian, and then as you are growing in the faith, sometimes when you look at more mature Christians, it should not discourage you. It should be an encouragement to you that you strive on, you strive to grow, to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow the examples of godly men as they follow the example of Christ. That's what even the Apostle Paul says. But we must keep on growing. That's the point. We must be more and more sanctified, more and more holy, like the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been growing? Have you grown in holiness to be more and more like Christ? Even in the last month? If you think back to the beginning of the year, have you grown in maturity? Have you grown in your prayer life, where you commune with God more and more, more consistently, more honestly, more sincerely? Have you grown also in your understanding of Scripture? Have you grown in the living out of your faith? Or have you become stagnant, no longer growing? When you think of a child, because the theme is we are children of God, we realize that children must grow. In fact, children are those who grow amongst the fastest. I mean, one day they can be like a certain height, like maybe 150 cm. Then the next day they become 175 cm. Right? I mean, of course, not the next day, but it appears like it's the next day. Okay? Sometimes because when I serve in the youth ministry, it's very, very apparent. See, the youths, the younger ones are those that grow like almost the fastest, like almost instantaneous. You thought that, hey, last week he was just like here. Then the next week is, hey, wow, suddenly he's like as tall as me. This is how they grow. Children should be those who grow the fastest. And so, if a person is not growing, then what is the problem? What has gone wrong? It's either this child is very, very sick with a disease, something that has stunted his growth, or this child is dead. You must keep growing. You know, one way to tell the difference between an artificial plant and a real plant is the growth. Nowadays, with modern technology, okay, there are a lot of these plants that can look very, very real, almost like the real plant. But for the artificial plant, even though it looks very much like the real plant, you may even add some kind of perfume or something to give it some scent, to mimic the scent of the real plant. But no matter how much you water the plant, no matter how much you add fertilizer to the plant, it will not grow. And simply because this plant does not have life to begin with. But if it is a real plant, it will grow. And that's the responsibility and the duty of Christians, of a child of God. We must constantly be growing, growing to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. In the way we think, in the way we speak, in the way we conduct ourselves, in the way we treat others, to grow to be more and more like Christ. And there's also one very important truth that over here we can see. Apostle John recognized that the Christians, they were children of God. He recognized that. And that's what we also must recognize in each other, to regard each other as also children of God. And how would you treat one another if you know that that person is a child of God? You would treat the other person with greater care, with greater respect, even with love, because you know that you are in the same family. I mean, even when we think of youths at times, when they start this process of courtship or dating, and now a boy wants to get attached to a girl, it is quite an intimidating process, because one of the processes that is go through is to talk to the parents. Right? The boy has to talk to the parents of the girl. And he knows that this girl is the daughter of these parents. And so he's going to be answerable to these parents. And so he will treat this girl with respect, with care, because he knows that this is a child of her parents. And if you can recognize that now, each one of us, we are a child of God, and you can recognize the person is also a child of God, then how would you treat each other? You would share in this bond because you are family. At the same time, you also treat each other with love because you know that the other person is also a child of God. And then you also encourage each other, remind each other, spur each other on to living a life that is fitting to this calling that has been given to us. We are in this same family. Are you a child of God? That is the question that you have to ask yourself this evening in the first place. Because if you are not a child of God yet, you cannot enjoy these privileges that has been entitled to one who is a child of God. You cannot enjoy this privilege of calling God your Father. You cannot enjoy this privilege of communion with Him. You cannot enjoy the privilege of He abiding with you, walking with you, guiding you, directing you, you will not enjoy this privilege of one day seeing your Savior face to face. But if you now believe and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are His child. And as His child, you will be able to enjoy wonderful and great privileges. But as you are also His child, then live in a way that is consistent with this calling that is given to you. We are children of God. If someone were to ask you to describe yourself, who are you? What would you say? Are you going to define yourself and try to look at these external things, material things, temporal things, in order to define yourself or to give yourself some identity or some meaning? Or will you be able to recognize that you are a child of God in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have this wonderful position, are you not happy? Are you not excited? And will you not also want others to be able to share in this same joy that you have? Are you a child of God? Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee that in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone, that in receiving Him, believing in Him, we are now called the children of God. O Lord, we know that this is a position that we did not earn of our own merit. It's not because we have bought it or we have gained it. It's simply given to us because of the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank Thee for all the blessings, all the privileges that comes with this position as Thy precious child. We thank Thee, for we know that Thou, as our loving Father, art the one who is ever watching over us. Thou wilt supply all our needs. Thou art the one who would guide us, who would lead us each step of the way. Thou would protect us, defend us. Even such a wonderful thought that we can always call upon Thee, we can cry unto Thee. O Lord, we thank Thee also, for we know one day we have a future hope where we will see our Savior face to face. So Lord, we pray that Thou would teach us and help us now to live in a way which would be fitting to this calling that Thou has given to us. We know that we are weak and frail, but we thank Thee that Thy grace is ever sufficient for us. So help us, O Lord, we pray. We want to thank Thee for this precious privilege. We commit all these things into Thy loving hands, praying in Jesus' name. Amen.